meeting of the Arizona State Board Complaint Committee to order and remind everyone that upon a majority vote of a quorum of the members, we may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431-0383. On any matter on the agenda, the board reserves the right to change the order of the agenda with the exception of hearings. We don't have any hearings today. On the standfield, do we have any requests for changes? We're not changing the agenda, right? Okay, thank you, Mr. Blanchard. Before we begin with the first, with the next order of the agenda, because we record the meeting, we need everyone to audibly identify themselves for the record. So Kevin, I'll begin with you.
Kevin Romano, State Board.
Keith Blanchard, State Board.
Rachel Kears, State Board.
Michael Romano, State Board.
Jim Dugan, State Board.
Trish Leonard, State Board.
Craig Jacobs, State Board.
Terry Stanfield, State Board.
Assistant Attorney General Frankie Schneckberg with the Attorney General's Office representing the State Board.
Thank you. The first or the next order of the agenda is the Complaint Committee meeting minutes from December 12, 2017. And they were audio recorded. So, board members, if y'all had a chance to review, and if so, I'll take a motion for approval.
Motion for approval of the minutes.
Thank you.
Second.
And a second. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the audio recording?
No.
Thank you. All opposed, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or all in favor, signify by saying aye. Sorry about that.
Aye.
Aye. And all opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. The first student complaint, and we have two this afternoon. The first student complaint is number 18S001, Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine, and the complainant is YZ. I don't believe YZ is present, but YZ, are you on the phone? Not present on the phone? YZ, you're not here? Thank you. Then could we have someone from the institution summarize the situation maybe just in a few minutes? We've all had an opportunity to read this, which is a set of the complaints and all the exhibits that go with it. I must say it's the most voluminous complaint I've ever seen in many, many years I've been on the state board. But would someone from the institution please step forward? And if you could, please identify yourself for our record, please.
You bet. My name is David Garner. I'm an attorney for Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. And I will do my best to do a little summary. I will point out that attending with me today is also Kenneth Donnelly, who is the Dean of Students, Nancy Norman, who's the registrar, and Dr. Jessica Mitchell, who's the Director of Clinical Training and Operations. And to the extent you all have questions that either aren't answered in the materials provided or that I can't answer, certainly they're available to answer for you. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on your new digs. The last time I was in front of you, it was in the basement. So this is, I'm sure, a welcome upgrade for all of you. Obviously, we've spent a lot of time trying to provide you in written material a comprehensive response to Mr. Israel's complaint. We hope that provides a very detailed understanding of what the school's view is on the complaint. As a matter of summary, if I can, this is a situation where the students committed some disciplinary infractions and went through the disciplinary process at the school. They crossed their T's, they dotted their I's, they followed their policy, the discipline process worked as it should. There are multiple levels of appeals at SCNM. So after the original infraction and the Dean of Students conducted her investigation at the time, the new Dean of Students in the interim, she concluded that the misconduct was an expellable offense. Mr. Israel asked for a hearing, not to contest the substance of the infraction, but basically to seek a reduced sentence, so to speak, if I can use that term. A hearing was held. The recommendation of the hearing was to uphold the expulsion. That then went as a recommendation up the chain at the next level review. That recommendation was upheld. And then the final review was to the president of SCNM, Dr. Paul Mittman, who reviewed that. And at that level, Dr. Mittman concluded, basically in an act of mercy, that although discipline was appropriate and that expulsion was appropriate, that he would be given a second chance. So he was given an opportunity to, with certain conditions in place, to have a path towards graduation. And the way that that was structured was that he was expelled, but the expulsion was suspended pending compliance with the requirements under the expulsion letter, one of which was obviously that he not have any additional misconduct issues when he was at SCNM. He was suspended for a period of time. He came back and committed an additional disciplinary infraction, continued to have issues both similar to and an extension from the issues that he had before. The Dean of Students did a thorough investigation and concluded that there was misconduct and obviously was a violation of the terms of the stay of his expulsion. And at that point, the expulsion then was reinstated. That was the process by which he was dismissed. Now, of course, in the interim, as you have in the packet of materials, there were a variety of other grievances and complaints that Mr. Israel raised on his behalf. Each and every one of those was taken seriously by the school, and as you have in the materials, there was a thorough investigation performed by the Dean of Students, and in each and every instance, the allegations by Mr. Israel were determined to be unfounded. So as we present this to you, this is a gentleman who was given a second chance and basically squandered it. And in the meantime, the school has followed its procedures and processes that are outlined in its handbook and did so in a manner that was fair to Mr. Israel and resulted in his dismissal.
Excuse me, if you could use his initials, it's just our practice so that we...
Yes, my apologies.
Thank you.
And in any event, that's where we came here today. He wanted to file a complaint with the board. The Dean of Students directed him to the appropriate process for doing that. He's done so. The school has now filed its response, and it is our view that there aren't any merits to the allegations that have been raised. We think they have been refuted quite thoroughly through the materials that have been presented, and it will be a request that the complaint committee dismiss the complaint.
Thank you, Mr. Garner. I'll ask one more time. Mr. YZ, are you on the line? Thank you. Mr. Garner, my view is that the state board is here to make sure that the school follows its own policies and procedures. And as far as I can tell, it appears that you've done that, and even more than that, you gave him a second chance. He's appealing, it seems to be, that part of his appeal is to say that the penalty was too harsh, but it's very clear to me in your policies that expulsion is perfectly legitimate form of discipline for the kind of offenses that he obviously engaged in, and he even admits that he did. So he admits that his behavior was inappropriate, it violated the policy. He's appealing the sanction. I believe the sanction is perfectly in line with what your policy is, and so my view is that we would dismiss the complaint.
I mirror all that. It was a very large amount of data to go through, and all of that, I came up with only one question to ask the school. And in one of his parts of his complaint, he said that he continued to struggle due to being subjected to terms that were not applied to other students, requested many times to discuss the terms and hope they would adjust the discriminatory terms they've been applying to him since he returned to school in July of 17. I just want assurance that anyone else who had the same set of circumstances, that they would be treated the same.
That's absolutely correct, Board Chair. The school does not discriminate on any regular basis. Any student who would commit the same infractions that YZ did would be subject to the same disciplinary consequence.
If that was on the phone, could you please mute until it's your turn to speak? Thank you. And I do think that it was very nice that a second chance was given, even though the terms were met, because obviously he had a lot of education invested. And so I do want to commend the school for, again, following their own policies and allowing him to come back for that second chance. We didn't really have to, but it's always nice when a school chooses to do that, give him a second chance. But I agree that both expulsions were appropriate.
Do other board members have any comments?
No, I agree with the sentiments of the board.
As do I.
Could I get a motion to dismiss the complaint?
I'll make a motion to dismiss.
Thank you. I'll second the motion. So it's been moved and seconded that we dismiss the complaint by Mr. YZ and the allegations against Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Frankie, can we do that without prejudice, or can't we file?
He didn't. You mean with prejudice?
With prejudice, with without.
The board can choose to do whatever they would like to do.
Does it sound like he has? Does it sound like he has?
Is the student on the line? I understand.
Does it sound like he's doing?
Is this Lonnie and Victor on the phone?
Yes, we are.
Could you mute your phone, because we can hear all the back noise?
Yes, we are having a little problem listening to you as well over there, but anyway, we are here. Go ahead.
Thank you. I would agree that we would do it with prejudice. My sentiment is.
You have to amend your motion and.
Yes, I will amend my motion, and with prejudice means that he can't refile again. Not on the same grounds or issue.
I second motion.
Okay, so the motion is made and seconded that we amend the original motion and make sure that it's on the record that it's with prejudice, so he can't refile on the same complaint. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you,
Doctor, or Mr. Garner. The second last complaint we have today is number 18S002, Chamberlain University, and the complainant is AS. So would those from the institution please step forward, identify yourselves in just a moment, and I will ask for those on the phone to do the same. So for our record, please, would you identify yourselves, please?
I'm Dr. Pam Fuller. I'm the campus president at Chamberlain University College of Nursing here in Phoenix.
Thank you, Dr. Fuller.
And I'm Catherine Mohammed, the Dean of Academic Affairs at Chamberlain University College of Nursing.
Thank you. And is the student complainant AS on the line?
Yes.
Thank you. So first, I'll listen to the student complaint, and then I like the institutional response. And Ms. A.S., if you could please just give us a brief summary of your complaint. We've had a chance to review all the materials that come along with the complaint and the institutional response, so if you would please just give us a very brief summary of what your complaint is.
Mr. Chair, her parents are on the phone. They may be speaking on her behalf through some of this.
Okay. I would rather hear from her, since she's the complainant. Please, A.S. Thank you.
I will address
Okay. I'm sorry. Would you identify yourself for our record, please?
Lonnie C. Soriano.
Thank you.
The mother of my son.
Okay, the mother. Thank you.
And my husband, Dave Soriano.
Okay.
And I am a press representative to speak on Ashley's Chino's behalf. I will be reading my daughter's complaint of being wrongfully dismissed twice by the Chamberlain University. Can I begin now?
Okay, but please don't read the whole complaint. We've had an opportunity to review the complaint. We just need a brief summary, if you will.
I'll try to do the best I can to say that to read the complaint. And because I've given that short limited time. In 2014, after taking my general education junior college courses in San Jose, California, I made the decision to pursue my long life ambition to become a nurse. I did a lot of reading and researching on how to accomplish and achieve my goal faster. Since I live in San Jose, California, San Jose State University should have been the ideal school for me to go, but because of San Jose State University has a long way to live, I decided to enroll at Chamberlain College of Nursing in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was accepted. One of the reasons I chose Chamberlain College of Nursing was because they were promising large support system to help the students succeed. My husband left in California and my family moved to Hartsville, Arizona. I applied for student loans to pay for my tuition fees and for my other school expenses. In January 4, 2015, I started attending Chamberlain College of Nursing in Phoenix, Arizona as a transfer student. After 1.5 years in school, I was doing well. I had a 2.69 GPA. I was in good standing academically until an unexpected pregnancy occurred, which was beyond my control. This was where my problem began. My son was 4 months old when I took my NR-324 Health 1 and Adult Health 1 clinical on July 4, 2016, and withdraw my classes on August 28, 2016 because of too much disruption from my son. Because of my withdrawal, I received a W on my NR-324 Health 1 and a W on my NR Adult Health Clinical. I retook my NR-324 Adult Health 1 and Adult Health 1 class on October 23, 2016. However, at the end of the semester, I received a failure F on my NR-324 Adult Health 1 and a satisfactory F on my Adult Health Clinical. The cause of my failure was due to the destruction of my child because I do not have a babysitter. On December 16, 2016, I received a dismissal notification from Chamberlain College of Nursing Register Office because I had a W on my first try to my NR-324 Adult Health 1 and F on a secondary try. On January 24, 2017, I appealed my dismissal to the appeal board committee. I met with the board and presented that my failure was because of my unexpected pregnancy, which caused too much destruction on my education. I also presented solutions and detailed plan for my improvement, however, I was denied. On February 19, 2017, I appealed my dismissal to Dean Catherine Mohammed. Prior to my meeting with Dean Catherine Mohammed, I emailed her that I would like to make an appointment to meet with her in person to discuss my dismissal. Then Mohammed responded and she will only talk to me by phone and just give her a date of time and time. I emailed her back and told her I will email my letter and my mom's letter as our point of discussion. Then Mohammed responded that she is now wanted to meet with me in person. I emailed her and set the meeting on February 22nd, 2017. On the day of our meeting, I entered Dean Catherine Mohammed's office, greeted her and thanked her for taking the time to speak to me. Dean Mohammed responded and said to me, I'm a little confused as to why you're here. We have already discussed your dismissal to the board. So I responded and said to her, Dean Mohammed, I made an appointment to discuss my appeal for a statement that I should not be dismissed for the reason that I have explained on my letter, that I emailed you. Did you read my letter of explanation at our point of discussion? Then Mohammed responded and said, yes. I read your letter, but your dismissal has already been decided by the board. Nothing was changed. Then Mohammed was apathetic when she said, prior to your coming to Chamberlain College of Nursing, you attended different community colleges, and you withdrew some classes. So basing on your track record, the board has determined that you will not be successful in the program. Then she continued to say, why don't you go back to California where you came from, where you can get your support? I responded back and said to her, what do you mean, Dean Mohammed? I am doing well in my classes until my special circumstance that expected pregnancy happened, which was beyond my control. My transcript of record proves that I am in good standing academically with 2.69 GPA. The classes I have withdrawn previously was only because I switched around my schedule, not because I was failing my classes.
Excuse me, Ms. Soriano. If you could bring it to a close, we've read all that material. We don't need you to read it back to us. So if you could summarize it in just a couple more sentences, we would appreciate it. We've read all that material. Student AS want to make any comment before I go to the before I ask the institution for our response?
Ashley can speak. Ashley will say something.
I wrote something, so I
want
to share with you. As you heard from my mom, it came from a more agitating ordeal that I've been through, not just me, but my retired parents who put their lives on the line as a co-signer on my student level. Why I chose Chamberlain College of Nursing, I was blinded by the advertised appealing and promise of students of support for students to succeed. My experience revealed otherwise. Not only did school fail me, but it humiliated me during my stay. I keep wondering why they ever accepted me. Yet it would have been better if I was not even accepted. At least I would have been spared the agony. Now
thank you.
Thank you, A.S. Now I'd like to hear from the institution.
Yes.
Please.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So I'm Dr. Pam Fuller. I'll just open with the general statements. A.S. was admitted into the Chamberlain College of Nursing in January 2015. She did have transfer credits that were accepted from other community colleges. Issues started when she went into Adult Health 1, which is in July of 2016. When she entered into that particular course, it's a clinical course, she did have this unexpected pregnancy and she withdrew. She then took, she was allowed, of course, to take the course over again. However, the policy that we have for students is that if they withdraw or fail two clinical courses, they are academically dismissed from the program. So her first withdrawal counted against those two items, those two. She moved on in November to the, that was the next time that particular class was offered again, November of 16, and she received an F in the class. This put between the W and the F, put her into an academic dismissal status. She did appeal. She has every right to appeal, and she did so. She did go to the committee, even though the committee made a judgment call on whether or not she would be successful as a student continuing in the program. And they upheld the dismissal of the withdrawal and the failure. She then appealed that grade, that decision, and that's where she came to my office. And she brought her husband. We had a long discussion, and as part of
Those of you on the line, please mute your phones. We're getting a lot of background noise, and it's hard to understand the discussion that's taking place. Please continue.
So when we had our discussion, I did rule to allow her to come back in based on conversations we had at that time related to her being past some of these difficulties in her personal life and wanting to be merciful to allowing her to come back in. I did make it clear, however, this is in writing, that this would be her last opportunity to take the clinical course the third time. If she took it the third time and did not pass, then she would be academically dismissed again and would not be able to continue. I also outlined at that time very specific guidelines that she should use and resources. We are very fortunate to have additional resources for all of our students, and she is welcome to use those resources. We have a Center for Academic Success. One of my statements to her and outlined to her was to use the CAS to go into the Center for Academic Success a minimum of three times a week and to work with our master's prepared tutors, any subject. We have coverage in there. I also recommend you should work closely with the faculty. So I did outline, I also asked her to meet with me every session so that we could have a chat and keep up to date. She did go into the third course. During that third attempt at this particular course,
can I interrupt? Yes, did she follow those requirements of going to CAS and meeting with you?
No, not to the extent that it was required.
Okay.
During that third session, that was third attempt, the clinical instructor on the unit called the faculty member in the class and said that she was struggling and having some difficulties with her clinical performance in the unit. So her instructor went to the unit and did an assessment, and we felt that we wanted to go a step further with her, give her the benefit of the doubt. And we had the second instructor who was not involved in her class, not engaged with her, you know, through her curriculum, go and do another assessment. And they spent 5 hours doing a very thorough one-to-one assessment on our clinical skills. It was determined at that time that she was clinically incompetent and would not pass the course based on her clinical incompetencies. Our policy says that if you have a U, which is an unsatisfactory in the clinical experience, you fail both portions of the class, both the clinical and the didactic. That put her back into an academic dismissal, and that's where she finally, she failed the third time and was dismissed from the program. So that's the summary. This is where we left it with her, where she was academically dismissed. I don't know if Kathleen Muhammad has anything she wants to add or not.
The only thing that I'd like to add is that I'm not sure when you read the documents, when AS and her mother used the word appeal board, what they're really referring to is an appeal committee that is on the campus that meets every session for any student that is going through this process. So there's very, you know, strict policies, and it's a consensus and vote by this committee, which is an odd numbered in case there's ever a tie, and it's a very similar process. So I want to make sure you guys are understanding that it's not Dean Muhammad that made a decision for her not to be accepted into the program again. It was the committee that did that. When she did come to the office that she wanted to make a meeting with me, it was to appeal that decision that had been made. And what I was trying to explain to her was that that was not the process. I cannot overturn the decision of the appeals committee. Only the campus president could do that. And I referred her to that process, which is then what she did follow through with.
I also would like to add that on her third appeal, because we were entrenched in this whole process with her, we felt it would be better to send her case out to one of our sister campuses. And so the entire file went out to one of our campuses in the Chicago area. That committee convened as well. It's not one person. It's an appeals committee. They convened and upheld the decision that this the AS would be academically dismissed for the second time. So it was not the campus again who was making this ruling.
Thank you both, President Fuller and Dean Muhammad. And thank you, AS, and the parents for being here. My view is that the institution took the dismissal very seriously, and I appreciate that. Three attempts at the course is beyond what the policy required. Certainly, it's unconventional, I suspect, in your institution to do that, but nevertheless, you did it to give the student every opportunity to remain in the program and graduate. And it appears that you followed your policy and your procedure and went the extra mile for the student. So my view is that I would dismiss the complaint as a result of that. I don't agree that the student has no opportunity to go elsewhere. Obviously, transferred credits into this institution, and so I certainly believe that, given the accreditation of the institution, that perhaps the credits could be that are successful could be transferred elsewhere. So I don't believe that this is the very end opportunity to ever become a nurse just because of this particular circumstance at Chamberlain. I think there are other nursing programs that probably would accept at least some of her credits and she could begin again. So it's unfortunate to say that she would need to begin somewhere else, but it's not begin from ground zero in my view. It's begin from where she is right now. So that's my view.
Well, obviously the school cannot guarantee transferability
of
credits to
of course
the
not.
Institution. I have one question for the student. In the letter that was dated December 7th of 17, and it was sent from Allison Durand, the senior ombudsman, Office of Ombudsman, on the last page, it says that your appeal for reinstatement was reviewed and denied, by the other campus, which the school apparently did that to be impartial. But it does say the opportunity to appeal the reinstatement decision is still available, and she's encouraged to contact her student service advisor to complete the next step. Have you done that?
Let me respond to that. The reason I wish I have all the time to explain all that. The you're telling us about the appeal to the denied appeal. Are you saying that?
I don't understand what you're saying, but I'm asking, did you read the letter from December 7th of 17 on the last page? In the bottom of the second paragraph on the last page of that letter, it says that the student has the opportunity to appeal the reinstatement decision, and she's encouraged to contact a student services advisor to complete this next step. So I'm asking, did she take that next step?
I didn't receive that letter because, like I said, I contacted already. When we submitted, you tell us we could get, you know, when we appeal the second denial.
Okay. All right. Let's hold, ma'am.
I talked to the Board of Education already.
Okay. Hang on.
That letter that you're talking about, we have not received that.
Okay. I'm trying to explain. The letter was actually addressed to the state board. So may I ask the school, was she given information about what the next step was of what she could do?
Yes, I believe she had. She has the
excuse me. Let's let the school answer this, please. Not yet, please. I'm asking the school to clarify how the information was given to your daughter about this appeal. So one moment, please. Sir, please wait one moment till we get a clarification from the school.
We'd have to go back and look at our internal student records. This particular letter did not come to us until just recently before the board appointment. And so I would have to go back into our notes and see if she was told that even though she was academically dismissed for this last time, that she had the right to appeal. And I do not know. I have to go back into the records.
Okay. So do you happen to know the policies that, based on what all has gone through, is it your understanding that she does have one more avenue with the school?
She does have one more avenue. She can appeal the last decision.
Okay, so before we go any further, whoever makes the motion, we will ask them to include that the school clearly give the information to the student about how to go about that last step. Okay.
I will need to know the AES. I need to know AES's correct address and how to get home.
Before I go to questions of school, do other people have questions for the student?
You took my major question, was has it been appealed yet? I was just wondering about that, so seeing that letter. Transfer credits, you talked about that. That's about it. I mean, I understand the policy, right? Two attempts at a course, a clinical course. And I'm sure you've explained to the student that it's about rigor and accreditation and why you have to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
It has been explained to her why failing two clinical courses was unacceptable and why she was dismissed.
Okay. Yeah, based on her own admission about the first two attempts were personal situations, the school followed policy.
I have a couple of other comments. I think that there's a little bit of confusion on the student's part when she did her appeal. She would quote a policy and say that this is why you guys are wrong, but it wasn't the policy that applied to this particular decision, because the satisfactory academic progress would have been done at the end of terms, and she did have the GPA and the maximum time frame, and the policy that she was dismissed for the first time was for having two withdrawal failures, correct? Which is a policy that we found in the catalog, so I get that. So she appealed that, she came back, we already asked her, did she follow all of the terms of the appeal, and you said she didn't follow all of them, so that was one question. Then the next part is that if a student, any other student who came back on a third attempt, and I get how you pair the course and the lab, and I understand she doesn't think that's fair, but I do get that if you can't both book learn it and apply it, they would go hand in hand, so I understand that. But it looked like it was determined she was going to fail the lab before the end of the lab course. So is that a common practice that before the student gets to the end of that course that you would pull the plug and say it's just there's no way for it to happen?
Let me clarify what lab means and clinical means. Lab is in the school working with the high fidelity mannequins and so forth. So
okay.
We wouldn't pull someone out at week four, week five. We would just keep working with them.
Okay.
However, when they're in clinical practice where they're out in the hospital in front of real patients and so forth, we really rely on the clinical instructor and the nursing staff on the unit to help us identify how students are doing. And that's whenever our clinical instructor called and said she'd been working with her, but she was unsafe. She was very concerned about her ability to critically think and deliver safe care to patients. Once we did another assessment by sending out a second instructor and doing a 5-hour assessment with her, that's when we pulled her from the clinical because she was unsafe. It would not be prudent of us to keep her in the clinical agency for what, a week or a day or 3 days even, if we didn't feel like she was able to make good decisions.
So that's a normal process that you do. It wasn't something that you specially did for her. That's just how you would normally do it. Okay.
Well, I didn't count to defend myself regarding that.
So I guess my question is, in that instance, I understand why you're doing that. You would think the student, because the studies of that course were interrupted, they may get another opportunity to take the course. But explain to me why that wouldn't happen.
Because that was her third attempt.
Okay.
And if it
was their first attempt?
The first attempt, it would be she would receive the first failure and then move into a second attempt.
Okay. All right.
But because it was her third attempt, we're kind of running out of options.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So this quote here saying she does not have a clear understanding of how to select, write, and use nursing diagnosis despite working with her one-on-one for 4 weeks. So would normally a person who took the course once, that would be normally for them to obtain proficiency in that?
Well, I think I'll let Catherine speak to that. I have an opinion, but I'll let her speak to that.
We would definitely have the expectations that they would be able to do that. So basically, when the clinical instructor was asking her about her patient and how to take care of them and what the priorities were for the day, she was not able to put those pieces together to give the clinical instructor the satisfaction that she was taking care of her patient safely.
So one of the things that we do is have the student prepare for their clinical experience. They need to know the drugs and the diagnosis if possible, depending on the patient, and they need to. There's certain processes that we go through, both in the lab and in the class, so that they are as prepared as possible. We don't expect them to be experts, obviously. They haven't graduated. They're not even novice nurses yet. But our clinical instructors take 1 to 6 students in the unit. And so they supervise and oversee. But there is a certain what's the word I'm looking for? Level of knowledge that the students will come with. And if there's something that is deemed to be below what the normal would be, we start paying more attention to it, as we did with her.
And I assume that there's a certain amount of outside prep they're expected to do, because she put in her complaint that she wasn't given enough time while at the clinical site to do all of her studying. At least that's how I understood her write-up. But some of that should have been done wasn't knowledge with individual patient, but would you acknowledge that she would have outside of from doing homework and such? Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. But then there's the issues of prioritizing what you need to do in the unit, the data, as part of nursing. You know.
And is that part of what would have been taught to her prior to coming to clinical, or is it something they learn when they get
yes.
to clinical?
And that's why we do the labs in the mannequins, is to help them build not only confidence, but skills and that critical thinking as they are faced with.
Okay, so they have the class, they have some lab, they have homework, and then they have clinical. Okay, I just want to make sure, I don't know this program myself, so yeah. I just want to make sure.
And the courses build upon each other.
Right. Okay. And the student's first two attempts at this course, how much time did she spend in the course?
Entire time.
I mean, she withdrew. I'm wondering how far into the in the course that she would draw and.
Well, that's something that she took that she failed, which meant she went.
She went through the entire course, okay.
How is?
Without looking at the records, I don't know if she withdrew in the class, there's eight weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know if she withdrew two or week eight.
Okay.
How is the student evaluated before going out to a clinic?
Mostly in the lab situation where we have a clinical lab specialist, we have six of them, and a manager. We have patient scenarios that they're all dressed in uniform, the whole nine yards, and they go into a lab situation and they have a scenario that would mirror what they would probably encounter in the hospital. And they go through these scenarios, or they go through the lab scenario, and then they debrief. And actually the best learning part is the debriefing. So you have an opportunity to see where you made judgment calls, good calls, calls that could be better calls. And so the debriefing, they do that for 4 weeks before they go out on the clinical site. So that we can prepare them as much as possible before they actually get in front of the patient.
And AES successfully met those pieces to go out to the clinic?
Over time. But if you look at her record, her transcript, you can see where some of a good portion of her classes have been repeated. Mm-hmm. So there was a habit or a pattern shown going into this class that her fundamentals and so forth, if you look at this, you can see where these classes build up to the adult health course that is taken, and these were often repeated. So it wasn't just this class that caused her to fail. It was this pattern, and she got to this point where there was multiple failure withdrawals. And this one happened to be the same class with a couple withdrawal and failures all in once, and that's what really came to a head.
Though she progressed far enough for you to feel comfortable to put her into a clinic situation.
Correct, yes.
And then as she progressed in the clinic, evaluation, a five-hour assessment was delivered to the student to determine if you were going to continue her or not in the clinic. Is
that
how you
was on top of her clinical hours she was already putting in.
Understood. Yeah. I'm just trying to appreciate that. Is the five-hour assessment a common practice?
No. Okay. No, we did that above and beyond.
Okay.
Usually the clinical instructor has the ability to really go through and say, well, you did a good job. I'm just going to throw things off the top of my head. You did a good job in assessing the patient. You did a good job in starting an IV. You had difficulty in another. You know. So we know that that's why the clinical instructor is there, is to help the students through those assessments.
How is the student notified of the five-hour assessment that would be taking place?
She was notified that there would be a separate instructor coming out to work with her that day and do an assessment.
Okay.
Was
that a day before or a couple days before?
Without looking at the timeline, probably within a few days because they go to a clinical. Say on Wednesday, and they're back at clinical on Wednesday. So we would have determined between Wednesday and Wednesday that we needed to have an assessment to see how she was progressing, and she would have gotten notification.
So the student would have received notification to say, we are going to do an assessment on you, and based on this assessment, we will either allow you to continue or discontinue your program. Is that what I'm to understand?
Well, we would have said we're doing an assessment to see how you're doing on your skills, and then we'll come to a conclusion of what we can do to support her.
Well, it doesn't sound like you came to a conclusion on supporting it. It sounds like you came to a conclusion on discontinuing her ability to continue the program.
Yes, we did, because she was not showing competency in the clinical at the level of all the other students.
So at the beginning of the 5 hours, the idea was you would assess her and decide what she needed to be successful, but during those 5 hours, it was decided that it wasn't fruitful to continue? Is that right?
Yes, but you'll see she has her own timeline in there as well that you guys should have had in your notes.
We did,
yeah. So she was aware that she was not meeting satisfaction the prior week when she met with her medical instructor.
So, board members, I only have a little issue of the jurisdiction over this case.
Really?
If I understand correctly, AS still has one appeal left.
Mm-hmm.
The board is not supposed to be hearing any complaints that haven't exhausted all their internal grievance procedures, and I believe that prohibits this board from exercising jurisdiction over this case until she exhausts all of her procedures.
May I say something here? I contacted AS when I got the letter to see if she has filed her appeal, which was way back. She said, I filed so many appeals and so much. I don't know if I did or didn't. So I don't know.
Okay.
I talked to the school here about that. I don't know what communication was between the institution, but it's you know.
Well, as of December 7th, it sounds like there was one appeal left. And I don't know if the school knows if she's exercised any appeals since December 7th. Okay. So I think just based on this letter that I believe the school needs to communicate to her that she still does have an appeal left. Until she exercises that appeal, or until that timeline lapses for the appeal period, this board wouldn't have jurisdiction. And should she let that timeline lapse, then the board definitely wouldn't have jurisdiction because she needs to exhaust all grievance procedures to be heard by this board. So.
Well. Excuse me, given that advice from our Assistant Attorney General, I would suggest that we postpone action until, or not continue to hear anything about.
I think you should dismiss this for lack of jurisdiction and allow the school to communicate with AS about her last appeal option. And then once she exhausts that, she would have the option to come back to this board with documentation that she has exhausted that last appeal.
Okay.
But it's without that last, if that thing's still sitting out there, it's going to exercise jurisdiction based on your rule 403 as well.
Should we be concerned that the institution does not know if the student was aware of the appeal process?
That is slightly concerning.
That's concerning.
It is concerning. I believe that the breakdown may have come from the fact that this is from their Chicago location. And it wasn't a letter from the school, it was a letter from your ombudsman in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be some sort of a breakdown somewhere in the communication. So I mean, the school has an obligation to inform the student that she does have that last appeal. Whether it came from you or the ombudsman, somebody needed to inform her.
Can I have a second to consult with my colleague, Karen?
Sure.
We'll have a short recess while some consultation occurs among us, members of the institution. So. Okay, for those of you on the phone and in the room, we're back in session. The institution has had an opportunity to confer among themselves, so I'll turn it back to President Fuller.
No, thank you for that little break. The letter was dated December 7th, and it says it's to Mr. Blanton. I, sitting here, cannot honestly say that the campus received this letter to us so that we could have reached out to her. Now, not in our defense, but AS was aware that if she wanted to appeal the last dismissal that actually went through the Tinley campus in Chicago, she has a right to appeal back to the Tinley campus committee, because that committee is what made the decision, and she was aware that she could do that. She hasn't exercised that. If she wants to exercise that, she is welcome to do so. I was not aware of the ombudsman's letter be able to reach out to her. That I would say.
Is there a timeline for that appeal?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, is the timeline passed? Is it exhausted, or she still has the opportunity?
I think she still has the opportunity. I think any timeline would be if she had set out for over a year, that throws her
Then, based upon the advice from our Assistant Attorney General, I would say that we don't have jurisdiction, and therefore I make a motion that we dismiss the complaint until that opportunity is, in other words, if she denies any, you know, interest in that opportunity, that to me, that would be the end of the procedure. But until she does that or appeals, then I think that we have to wait before we can hear the complaint. So therefore, my motion is to dismiss the complaint. And then we come back.
Well, this board can't hear it until she appeals.
But if she waives it,
then we're still without jurisdiction. She has to exhaust all of her remedies, which means she has to do the last appeal. She can't just give up and then come straight to the board.
So that means it can last forever. If she never files an appeal, it never comes to you.
That's why I was wondering. Usually there's a timeline for appeal.
We have our timeline, 2 years.
2 years from the last appeal, though. But if they don't have an appeal timeline.
She just said it was 1 year.
I think it's 1 year. Okay.
They have to appeal within 1 year.
If it's beyond 1 year, then they have to go back to the admissions committee.
Okay. With this letter, since the decision was made out of the Cabo campus, would the letter have gone to the student that clearly stated she still had an option? And do you have a copy of that?
I don't have a copy of that. That's the problem.
Because this is a copy from them to us. I wonder if they sent a copy to her.
Or to the Tinley Park campus.
Yes.
Then I didn't get a copy.
Do you know when they made their final decision on this case?
Oh, Chicago.
Hold on a second. I can.
That's the institution that's been with the institution here. I have not talked to anybody from Chicago.
Which nobody would expect you to. Because
Well, the university's ombudsman collected all the information.
It looks to me like it was September 21st.
September 2017.
Okay, so, AS, are you on there on the line still?
We are here. Okay. And really, I'm sorry, it's a little bit not clear.
Sorry, my microphone's not on. Hello?
Second appeal.
Okay, AS, can you hear me?
What? Is Why it? Are we discussing this?
Oh, hello? Mrs. Soriano? I'm trying to speak with AS, please. Is AS there?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. So it sounds like the Chicago campus had a separate hearing on your dismissal in September. Did they send you any mail letting you know the outcome of that? Hello? Bear with me for 1 second.
So they'd have to confirm with the Tinley Park campus if it was sent.
I doubt it. They'd have to confirm with them. Yeah, it was sent out.
Mail stamp.
She would need to have been noticed of the appeal period.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but she would still, either way, she would still need to exhaust it through
before
this board could even consider it.
So procedurally, do we finish this and then give her directions?
Could I get a second to my motion?
I'll second.
So when you say expect a response,
yeah.
I'm confused.
I know, I'm going to summarize for her what's going to happen. But, any further discussion on the motion and the second? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay. AS and parents of AS, Mr. and Mrs. Soriano, and of course the institution. We don't have jurisdiction until the student exhausts the appeal process, the whole process that the institution defines for what has to happen. Until the grievance process has been exhausted, we don't have jurisdiction, which means the complaint is dismissed. It doesn't mean that everything you've done is out the window. It doesn't mean that it's all for naught. What it means is you have to complete the entire process of appeal before we can listen, because our statute says that we cannot hear the complaint until
the institutional process for a grievance like this is exhausted. And so because it is not exhausted, we have to have another step from the complainant, AS. And until that time, we cannot hear the complaint, which means that we're not interfering with the institutional decision at all. We're not listening to the complaint, essentially. We're not ruling in favor of either. And what that means is that the institutional decision stands until the complaint comes back. But the only way the complaint comes back, with all the stuff that you've already done, all the documentation and all the everything that you've already given us, you have to exhaust the complaint procedure. So, does everyone understand that?
Yes, but can I make a comment? Can I say something, at least? That when we submitted the appeal on the second dismissal, I called up State Board, Arizona, and I talked to Deputy Keith Blanchard.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked that question that while we submit, because of what's happening here, appeal and dismissal, and so I asked, and we already submitted an appeal to the second dismissal, but what we haven't received at that time when I talked to him, that we haven't received the result yet. Can we then, or our three, submit a complaint now while waiting at the same time?
No, you cannot submit a complaint until the procedure is exhausted. And so if there was miscommunication from our staff or the institution, I apologize for that. If there was some miscommunication, but nonetheless, the procedure has to be exhausted before, according to our statute, we can listen to the complaint and make any kind of a ruling. So essentially, it's as if we weren't even here today. It doesn't matter at this point. Did you understand what we said and what you have to do if you want to bring the complaint back in front of the board? Okay, thank you.
My husband would like something. Okay.
One comment. This is it. One more. It doesn't have anything to do with the decision. Pardon me?
Dr. Fuller on the line.
Dr. Fuller on the line.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to know, why is it that Ashley was dismissed in the middle of the semester? They didn't give any verbal reason or written reason. If there is a written reason, forward that to Ashley right now. I would like to know.
I think that question has been answered through the discussion today. Dr. Fuller doesn't have to answer that question. Thank you. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end of this discussion on this particular complaint. Everyone understands where we have to go from here. So the next order on our agenda is really an adjournment. A call to the public. But if there are no members of the public that would come forward, then I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much, all of you.